Galatians chapter 5 this evening. We'll start there, and we have a decent amount of scripture. If you copied off the outline we sent out on Friday or Saturday, sorry for scaring you. We're going to touch on that, but it's kind of homework. So if you did not print it off or you didn't look at it, which seems like a lot of you, which is fine. I have actually a different outline, but that was a little bit of homework because our subject this evening and in 2 weeks is going to be on the Holy Spirit. And so that was 40, and it's not all of them, okay? But that was 40 things that the Holy Spirit does for the believer, 40 of them. So at the end of the week, maybe I'll email the answer key, okay? But they all have verses, and it has blanks in it, so you should be able to do that homework. But the reason that I wanted to do that is to help us to understand how important the Holy Spirit is to the believer's life. It is very, very important. And this evening, we're going to look at specifically at the idea of walking in the Spirit. You'll hear people say that. So what does that mean, to walk in the Spirit? And hopefully this evening, it'll help us to understand a little more of that, be able to practice that in our Christian life. It's been said that when John Bunyan was in Bedford Jail, that some of his prosecutors back in London heard rumors that he was allowed to leave the prison, which it was true, but the rumors had gotten back to London to the prosecutors that he was allowed to leave the prison. So they sent an officer to Bedford to discuss the matter with the jailer. This officer was to arrive at night, and on this particular night, or either arrive at night or early in the morning, so to be able to check on this. So on this particular night, this officer is traveling. Bunyan was allowed to go home by the guy in charge of the jail. And while he was at home with his family, for some reason, he was restless. Something was telling him that he needed to go back to the jail immediately. And he did so. The jailer, uninformed of Bunyan coming back, he kind of woke him up. And the jailer was kind of a little irritated. You know, he's, you know, I sent you home and now you wake me up. And he kind of scolded him a little bit and put him back into his cell. And then shortly after that, the officer came. The officer came and he got a hold of the jailer that was in charge of the prison. And he said, are all the prisoners here? And he said, well, yes. He goes, was John Bunyan here? He said, well, yes. He said, let me see him. And so he took him to John Bunyan's cell, and there he was. There, I don't know if he was fast asleep, if he was faking it or whatever, but there he was in jail. So, after the messenger was gone, the jailer turned to Bunyan, and he said, well, John Bunyan, you may go in and out anytime you think is proper, for you know when to return better than I do. I say all that kind of as a start to introduce the idea of walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. God sometimes just nudges you and says, do this. So we're going to, kind of as an introduction, I just want to give you a couple of things that the Holy Spirit does for us. You're there in Galatians chapter 5. I want to go back to Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, so this is the handout that we emailed, okay? So I'm just going to do a couple of them just kind of as introduction. Later this week, we'll send you the answer key. You can do some homework. But in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. May not get the whole concept, and we're not reading the whole context there. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, He assures the believer of sonship. He makes him son-like. And that's what, did you notice what it says? We've been given the Holy Spirit and he helps us cry out to our Father. In Ephesians, we're there in Galatians, so turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. This is very similar. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He seals the believer as a pledge of earnest of future glory. So here, these are just a couple of things that the Holy Spirit does. In Ephesians 5:18, most of us have read this. We've heard it. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You can go to, and you don't have to turn there, but in John 14, the Holy Spirit abides with the believer continually. In fact, if you want to study a lot about the Holy Spirit, Romans 6, 7, and 8, John 14 and 15 and 16 are great things to study. And then the apostle Paul writes in Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians, and you're going to get a lot of information about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us as, in fact, this is a great debate. I wouldn't say, there's some in Independent Baptist Circle. I'm just finishing up an article. I'm starting a series of articles called Baptist Vices. And so you heard me say these things. I do nicknames for different things and I call it the spookification of the Spirit. And so there's this idea that at salvation, I only get a part of the Spirit of God. Nowhere in Scripture do you find that. Nowhere in Scripture. All right, so how do I know how much parts I get? That's what I'd ask you. All right, so do you only get like an arm of it? No, the Bible says, this week, it was preached on in College Chapel in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What? Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God? All right, saying that the Holy Spirit is in you. It's in you. When you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit. So I think it's a misunderstanding of that we get all of the Holy Spirit, but does that mean that he has all of you? So you need to be surrendered to him. That's walking with the Spirit. Walking with the Spirit means that every day I am asking God, I'm dying daily to self because the old nature is there. I am surrendering to the Spirit. I'm saying, God, now use me, fill me today. Take every part, every nook and cranny of my life. You own it. And he does, and you're allowed there. You're allowed access to all of it. The Holy Spirit and his work is very important in our life. And in Galatians chapter 5, if you want to get back there to Galatians chapter 5, we'll read that in just a moment. Charles Spurgeon said this, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, like coals without fire, we are useless. And yet many of us walk daily without the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says this, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. And those all sound really bad, don't they? I think most of us, if we came in or if we walked into your house and you're sitting there doing a seance, we're like, whoa, what is going on with you? We walk into your house and it's all littered with idols. I'm like, man, that's bad. Those are works of the flesh. But also, wrath, and hatred, and variance, emulations, strife, sedition, heresies. Just so you know, that's also works of the flesh. They're all on the same list. But somehow, we think some are worse than the others. And so it's okay for you to have hatred, I guess. emulation kind of has the idea of it's a hatred. It's a hatred at another level. Emulations, wrath and strife and seditions. When you go around and you stir up strife, even within the church, just so you know, you're not walking in the Spirit. It's a work of the flesh. Envyings. Wait a minute. That's on the same as witchcraft? Yes, it is. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that this evening as we consider the idea of walking in the Spirit, Lord, you would give sustaining grace, that you would give that ability to take the precious word of God and apply it properly. Not to, Lord, take liberties that are unnecessary with your precious word. Lord, we ask that you do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power. In Jesus' name, amen. The word walk is used over 30 times in the book of Galatians. Then you find it a few dozen times in the book of Ephesians also. It's a very common term, so you find a common term in Galatians and Ephesians. It's used figuratively of one's way of life. The verb form, most of the verb form in the book of Galatians is in the present imperative. All right, and I know it's Sunday night, and you're like, "Whoa, Ben, that was a deep thought." But it's the present imperative. It literally means this: keep on walking. You don't stop. It's a continual thing. So I am always supposed to be keeping on walking in the Spirit. It's not something that I do once. I'm doing that continually. So the promise here is given to the believer who continually lives in dependence on the indwelling Holy Spirit for guidance and power. He doesn't operate automatically, I don't believe. In the believer's heart, he waits to be yielded to. And so, this evening, we're going to be speaking on walking in the Spirit. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about what does it mean to be yielded to the Spirit. This evening, I want to look at the idea of walking in the Spirit. So what is this secret? All right, walking in the Spirit. It's found in Scripture over and over. So what is walking in the Spirit? What does it mean? Christianity, if you go back to the time of Christ and a little bit afterwards, the first century and second century, they would have this phrase, "Are you walking in the way?" All right, so the idea of the way was a reference to Christianity. So it is not surprising then that the Bible instructs believers to walk a certain way. And so we need to be walking. So I looked in the Bible, in Romans and in Ephesians, and here you have it in Galatians, this idea of walking. And I noticed that there are four different walks that I believe are related to a walk in the Spirit. So in Romans chapter 4 is the first one. I believe all of these are related to learning how to walk in the Spirit. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? First of all, in Romans chapter 4, this is talking about Abraham. And Abraham, it says, walked by what? Faith. So if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I must learn to walk by faith. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. What shall we say then that Abraham our father has pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Go down to verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Go down to verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 12, it says that Abraham walked by faith. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. It is very important for us to understand that the Spirit of God will push you in your growth of faith. And as you're walking in the Spirit will ask you to take steps of faith. Steps of faith. Now, what's a step of faith? Now, some people would say, well, you know, it's not being able to see. I understand that, but you can see a little bit because you have the Bible. And the Bible lays out some things for us, and sometimes the Holy Spirit prods you and he says, I want you to step out in faith and do that. You know, there's a big thing in the last 10 to 20 years. It's a life coach. I don't need a life coach. You know why? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit prods me. He pushes me. And he'll push you in this area of faith. And when you start having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, what he will do is he'll push you. He'll push you. He'll put things out there and you'll say, hey, I want you to do this. And if you're going to grow, if we're going to continually walk in the Spirit, you have to follow that. Or, guess what happens? It's the other teaching. You grieve the Spirit. When you grieve the Spirit, he may talk to you a little bit. He may talk to you again. But continual grieving will lead to quenching. And what does quench mean? It's as though he's not there. And you know, I've met Christians that it seems as though the Holy Spirit isn't even there. Yeah, it can happen. It can happen in a believer's life. And it happens when we decide we're not going to take that walk of faith. So the first walk is a walk of faith. Then we go to Ephesians. So we're there in Galatians. All right, let's go to Ephesians. And Ephesians talks a lot about the Spirit's work also. And we find a couple of walks that are referenced. And this all is in the context of being in Christ. All right, and in Christ now, when we are born again, we're in Christ. And what has happened when we're born again? The Spirit of God resides within us. So I need to learn to walk in faith. But then notice in chapter 4 and verse 17, chapter 4 and verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk, there's our word, not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. He picks it up again in chapter 5. Look at verse 7 and 8. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's a walk of faith. It's a walk in light. A walk in light. You'd say, well, what does that mean? Light represents that which is holy. That which is right. When you study, Jesus said that? I am the light of the world. All right? That is opposed to what? Darkness. And so, if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I'm going to learn to walk in light. I'm going to learn to hate darkness. We should be clearly against the works of darkness and those deeds which seem to lend towards promoting darkness. Walking in the Spirit is walking in the light. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, all right, I walk in faith, I walk in light, and the darkness, those things that are dark, may try to veer me off the path. And when that happens, I'm not walking in light anymore. What am I doing? Grieving the Spirit again. And then you don't hear Him. And remember, in Galatians, it's an imperative. I am always supposed to be walking in the Spirit. It's not a one-time walk. I don't walk one time. I am, while I'm here on this earth, I should be walking in the Spirit. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. We're there at the beginning of the chapter. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. So, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's a walk of faith. It's a walk in light. Notice, it's a walk in love. This indicates, as we talked this morning, about the attribute of God. God is love. Walking in the Spirit will lend towards a sacrificial, self-denying life, a life exemplified by my Savior. That is walking in love. You might think, oh, you know what? I do, man. People just say that about me. I'm just like a big bundle of love. That's not what we're talking about here. All right? You and your tie-dye shirt. All right? And you, your hippie life. All right? That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about God's love. That's what it is. It's walking in love. How do I know it's talking about that? Because it gives an example. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. It's not your idea of love. It's God's idea of love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a self-denying love. That's the type of love that we're supposed to have. And the Holy Spirit, as we walk with Him, as we grow, and one of the things that the Holy Spirit is doing, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to point people to Christ. You can find that in John 14, 15, and 16. He points people to Christ, points people. That's why sometimes the Holy Spirit is misunderstood. Why? Because His job is always pointing to Christ. And when a church or when a religion overemphasizes the Holy Spirit, they are underemphasizing Christ, and you get into false doctrine. It's the Holy Spirit is always Christ, Christ, Christ. That's what He does. So the Holy Spirit in your life is going to say, look at Christ, emulate Him. You need to be like Him. And what does that mean? I need to learn to love others as Christ loved. So you know what that means? Maybe you'll be a little less irritated with a bus kid. Maybe you'll be a little less irritated sometime with a fellow believer that crosses you. Why? Because Christ forgave you. See, that is evidence of walking in the Spirit. Evidence of works of the flesh? What? Anger? Hatred? How dare them! Watch it. Starting to walk in the flesh instead of the Spirit. Why? Because what do you deserve? Emulate Christ. Emulate Christ. See, walking in the Spirit is a walk of faith. It's a walk in light. It's a walk of love. Then in Colossians chapter 2, we find this word again, walk, used for us. And Ephesians and Colossians are kind of sister books, I would say. They both have the same idea. The idea is in Christ, in Christ. You see that often. And in Colossians 2 and verse 6, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It is a walk with Christ. Walk in Christ. This means a close walk with the Word of God. You'd say, wait a minute. Wait. All right, so how did you get the Word of God out of that? Because Christ is the living Word, and that is the written Word. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 and 13, which the whole point of the book of Hebrews is what? Christ is better. And guess what Hebrews 4:12 was talking about? The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper. You're like, wait a minute. The whole point of the book of Hebrews is Christ is better. Yes. And guess what Christ is? The living Word of God. And guess what the written living Word of God is? It's quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so Christ, as the living Word of God, comes through the written Word of God, and it is applied through the Spirit of God. And that's what the Spirit of God can take, the written Word of God, and reveal the living Christ to us. That's what we should be doing. We should be walking in Christ. So that is what is walking in the Spirit. So secondly, I wanted to look at why. Why do I need to do it? Why is walking in the Spirit important? Well, we're there in Colossians 2. So go to Colossians 3 and look at verses 5 through 10. Verses 5 through 10. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Why do I need to walk in the Spirit? Because a believer is to live God's way and not the world's way. Do you notice what it's saying? You know what? You did walk that way. That was the way of the world, but you're a new man. And walking in the Spirit teaches us. He guides us to all truth. That's what John chapter 15 says. He's a teacher there. So let the Holy Spirit spend some time with the Word of God and ask. And I would tell you, mention, just say, Holy Spirit, this morning, I need to mortify my flesh and go through some of those things. Go through that list and God will point out some of the things that are very specific to you and that are weaknesses for you. If it's anger, or if it's, maybe it's discouragement, maybe it's some other things, and you say, Holy Spirit, help me today, help me to crucify those attitudes. And Holy Spirit, I need you to teach me today how to win and have victory. And you know what he'll do? He'll help you. Why is it important to walk in the Spirit? Well, because a believer is supposed to live God's way and not the world's way. And then in Ephesians... Okay, so go back to Ephesians chapter 6. So remember, we used Ephesians 4 as one of our text passages saying that walk in light. And then Ephesians 5, it says walk in love. It also says walk in light. And then Ephesians 5:18 says, hey, you need to be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes a little bit later as he's talking about these walks that we're supposed to do and that we're supposed to... we're supposed to have victory. And then in Ephesians 6, he says, now, put on the whole armor of God. And then he says this, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why is it important to walk in the Spirit? One, a believer is supposed to live God's way and not the world's way. Secondly, a believer has enemies that he'll face. This is what I can tell you. that if you do not learn to walk in the Spirit, you will live defeated. There are young people that you live defeated every other day. There are older folks you live defeated. You haven't, and by the, so how do you recognize defeat in your life? How do you recognize it? All right, there are evidences that we can have. The Bible says that we should have joy. There should, the Bible says that there should be rest even. There should be an assurance, a rest, a peace that is there. Even during troubling times, that should be there. There should be a joy, there should be a rest, there should be a peace. There also should be growth in your life. All right, that is evidence. That is evidence of walking in the Spirit. That is evidence of living victorious, is that there are steps. It may not be huge steps, all right? But it's just steps. And so I should be able to look back, and if I'm walking with the Spirit, what is the job of the Spirit? He's always pointing people to Christ. What is God's desire? That I am more conformed to the image of Christ today than I was yesterday. So he is going to nudge me as I walk in faith, as I walk in the light, as I walk in love, as I walk in Christ. He is going to nudge me and say, do this, do this. And it may just be a small step, but over time, guess what happens? I am more like Christ. But as I step away from walking with the Spirit, you know what happens? I become more like the world. And then I'm discouraged. And then I'm down. And then I'm bitter. Then I'm angry at everybody else that maybe has come alongside. Because if, as believers, if we're walking in the Spirit, others, because the Bible indicates this, a walk with the Spirit, as I walk with the Spirit, as you walk with the Spirit, God may nudge me because we bear one another's burdens, and I'll say, hey, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. Seems like you're struggling. When I'm walking with the Spirit, guess what happens? What? You seem judgmental. I'm just saying, I won't pray for you. You know what? Can I curse you? Can I do that? Can I just pray that God ruins your life? But I won't pray. I won't pray about it. But that's what we're doing. Here's someone's coming up. They don't know everything about you, but that's the devil. The devil messes with your mind. That's what he does. He comes in and messes with your mind. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He's unbelievable. He's an unbelievable foe. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, guess what happens? You're not ready for that battle. You're not going to be able to handle that enemy. And guess what happens? All of a sudden, the wiles of the devil came in. The shield of faith wasn't, I'm not walking in faith. I'm not there. I don't have it. Remember the breastplate? What is that? Righteousness. That's walking in light, isn't it? You see, all of this ties together, and I've been given somebody that can help me, that is a teacher, and what can he teach me? He can teach me how to use my armor. He can teach me all of that. What good is armor if you don't know how to use it? But the Spirit, he's good. He can teach you all things. Believer is supposed to live God's way, not the world's way. A believer has enemies that he will face. And 1 John 4:4 says this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, that's why I have a problem with that partial spirit thing. So what is it? Greater is he that is in your leg than he that is in the world. You know what? He's there. You have all of the Spirit you need. But you have to walk with Him. You got to walk with Him. You don't grieve Him. You don't quench Him. And some of you, you've been grieving the Spirit and you know it. He's been nudging you and saying, hey, you're living in defeat. There's an enemy. And the enemy isn't flesh and blood. I can tell you that. I can tell you that from personal experience, that there are some times that you're going to face hard, hard things, and it's basically demonic activity. You think you're not going to face it in America? I think there's more demonic activity in America than you would find in a village out in Africa. Some of it is, look up the word sorcery in the Greek. We have a word for it today, pharmaceutical. That's the word. And you know what? In America, I have met some people, and you're talking with them and you're witnessing, and I'm saying the presence is unbelievable. It's demonic. And it can happen even in your home. The devil can be loose in your home. And that happens, and he will come in. Read the scriptures and you'll find that if you have a good home, you mark it down. The devil wants to attack it. He's going to come after it. So how do you face it? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Then in Galatians chapter 5, that's where we started. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and what? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A believer has to live, he needs to live God's way, not the world's way. A believer has enemies that he'll face, but a believer has an old nature, and it's part of you. So how do I beat this old nature? Because all of us have it. All of us have it. I know God's led me, and I'll just share a little bit of it. But God has taught me over the years. It's probably been a decade or so. And I believe that it's one of the reasons that God has done some amazing things. God's led me to make a part of my life fasting. Not just prayer, but fasting. It's a very weekly regiment now. And you know what it does? It puts my flesh in check. That's what it does. It says, you're not in charge. I believe also it's a offering to the Lord. As I've studied it, I believe it's an offering to the Lord. It's something I can give sacrificially. I can say, you know what, I'll step away from this. And Lord, this time is yours. My body is going to be put under. This is what I found doing that. God teaches me tons during those times about my old nature, about what it wants to do. But you know what? I can't tell you to do that. The Holy Spirit needs to do that. And that's what has to happen for each and every one of us. When we get in tune with the Holy Spirit is very clear in His teaching. And it's not always the same. It's not the same for everybody here. Now, the Word of God, I'm not saying it's going to go against the Word of God, but He's going to lead and guide you a little bit different. Why is that? Because we're individuals. All of us have different likes and dislikes. God's not in the habit of making robots. No, that's the world. They love robots. God doesn't like any of them. Take a gander at the creation, and you'll find out that God loves difference. He loves individuality. And actually, He loves diversity. That's what God loves. He made the world that way. And guess what the world is looking for? They cry it. They make banners. And diversity is found right here in our church. It's found in the Bible. He says that every one of us, we have gifts differing. In fact, the diversity of gifts. See, that's the Spirit. The Spirit provides that for a church. And if a church would just get on fire for God, if a church would just learn to walk in the Spirit appropriately, you know what the world would see? Wait a minute. We've been looking for diversity and it's at the church house. That's where it is. But it doesn't happen when we're not walking in the Spirit. Instead, we walk in the flesh. And you know what? Walking in the flesh, it almost all looks the same. It's hatred, it's bitterness, evil speaking, it's malice, drunkenness, idolatry, covetousness. It's all the same. But you come and you walk in the Holy Spirit. A believer has the ability to put that old nature under. So let me just give you a couple of tips then. So we said, so what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And we gave you those four walks. Why is it important? Well, I gave you some reasons why. So how do I maintain that walk in the Spirit? One, walk away from sin. Walk away from sin. Sin is disobedience to the revealed Word of God. When you know something is directly against this, walk away from it. Walk away from it. All right, the Bible says what? If it's doubtful, it's sin. So if you're having doubts about it, stop and pray. Maybe put some time of fasting there. Maybe think about it. Ask somebody that maybe is a little more mature in the Word of God. And when that happens, just pause it. And this is what I'd ask you. If it's so valuable to you, all right, and you can't find it in the Word of God, that doesn't make sense, does it? And if I can, then let me just pause it for a couple of weeks. I'm not going to die. And let me get God's mindset on it. Don't let sin come in and control you. Walk away from it. Why? Because the Spirit breathes life. And when we don't have the Spirit, there's death. So walk away from sin. Walk away from any other supposed way to God. Here in this, if you go to Romans chapter 8. So remember I said Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 are great passages to study about the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 specifically brings this into place. Because in Romans chapter 7, Paul is having that big fight with the old man and new man. And then he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then verse 25 of chapter 7 says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Then in verse 1, 2, and 3, he starts establishing that the Spirit of God, and he uses the word walk. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh," but notice, "but after the Spirit." So we're supposed to walk away from sin. We're supposed to walk away from any other supposed way to God. We're supposed to be careful. And notice down in verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Back in verse 5, notice what it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." So that word mind means to set your mind there. It's the same word Jesus used when he addressed Peter in Matthew chapter 16, when he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." That's the same word. That word savorest is this idea of mind. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." Do you get what it's saying? They savor it. That's what they want. Their mind is set on it. But if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, how do I maintain it? I savor the things that are of God. I take delight in those things. And when I start seeing that I am not delighting in it, I put a check somewhere. I say, "Man, something is wrong." I get some help. Why? Because I'm heading down a dangerous path, and that is walking in the flesh. I need to walk in the Spirit. Thirdly, how do I maintain it? I walk away from sin. I walk away from any other supposed way to God. Then I walk in the power of the resurrected Christ. We're there in Romans 8 and verse 9. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit," notice what it is life because of righteousness. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." We have the ability. So it's telling us that the Holy Spirit, that was the energy, that was the power that was unleashed to raise Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture. And he's been given to you and I. So learn to walk in the power of that Spirit. That can, you know, sometimes there's just a little bit of death there in our Christian walk, isn't it? Get back to the Spirit. It's resurrection power. It's vibrancy. Did you catch it? Over and over, there's life. Quickening. That word quicken means to make alive. And when we're dead, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. And then we walk in prayer and total dependence upon the Lord. Understand this. That walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit is coming to the place that you know, "I can't do this." It's a hard place to come as a man or woman. But it is quickening. It is a place that makes you alive when you come to the place where you understand, "I can't have victory on my own." You can't. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's what it profits. A story is told about a little boy. He was flying a kite. It was a windy day. The kite kept going higher and higher and higher. Finally, it got so high that it was out of sight. A man passed by, and the boy was just holding the string. And he was like, "You know what? What are you doing? It's like I'm flying a kite." He's like, "I don't think so." He said, "How do you even know it's up there?" You know what he said? "I can feel it." You know how I know that the Holy Spirit is in me? As I feel it. Amen. You may say, that seems emotion. Well, look in the Bible. You're going to see a whole lot of emotion in the Bible. There's a man that, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was healed. Remember Peter, James, or Peter and John? They came by that the beautiful gate. I think it's in Acts 3 or Acts 4. And there was a man that was crippled. And all of a sudden he was leaping and dancing and hey, stop it. Stop that. You're at the temple. You know what? Well, he felt the jig. He hadn't felt it in a long time. And that's where I'm telling you, sometime one of you, you're just going to cut loose one of these times. Or singing the old rugged cross, your hand might just all of a sudden like shoot up. The Bible might wave. Be like, oh, oh. All right, you get more concerned about a Bible waving than maybe the Spirit might be here. And I'm not going to get all Baptist on us, but I'm just saying, come on. The Spirit, He's alive. He quickens. There should be life. Sometimes there's just death. We sing a song. It was written in the 1800s. Holy Ghost with light divine. Shine upon this heart of mine. Chase the shades of night away. Turn my darkness into day. Walk in light. Holy Ghost with power divine. Cleanse this guilty heart of mine. Long have sin without control. Held dominion over my soul. Holy Ghost with joy divine. Cheer this saddened heart of mine. Bid my many woes depart. Heal my wounded, bleeding heart. Holy Ghost, all divine, dwell within this heart of mine. Cast down every idol throne. Reign supreme and reign alone. Walk in faith. Walk in light. Walk in love. Walk in Christ. Holy Spirit, my comforter, my peace. Make the billows of sorrow roll away with your might and power. Holy Spirit, my guide, my life, make your abode and guide me with thine eye. Holy Spirit, my teacher, my helper, make God's word alive through your quickening breath. Let's learn to walk with the Spirit. Heads bowed, eyes closed this evening.